Howdy, Ryan here. I just wanted to take this time to thank you for tuning into the Venerable Shenanigans podcast. I also wanted to take this time to let you know why we have sponsored segments and listener support on, because that involves money, right? So you might be asking yourself, okay, where does the money from the advertisements go? Where does the money from the listener support go? Well, Omar, Jeremy, and I decided to donate all the money to Catholic Charities of Central Texas. The Brazos Valley Office of Catholic Charities of Central Texas offers emergency utility assistance, services to women and men in crisis pregnancies, and immigration legal services. If you'd like to contact them, you can call them at 979-822-9340. That's 979-822-9340. Or you can go to their website at www.ccctx.org. That's www.ccctx.org. Thank you, and God bless.
And then from that day on, Ryan was converted.
Omar, are you sure you're not the one who wants to be a priest?
I mean, today I think I was mistaken for a priest today. Well, a seminarian.
Wait. Explain this.
Sorry about the sermon hearing, Omar.
Explain this for our dear listeners.
But today, you know, had the wonderful opportunity to serve at Mass. And then get to serve with all the seminarians of our lovely non-geographical diocese. And during the homily, I, among with other, the seminarians were sitting there.
Oh, you said non-geographic. I forgot you're an ordinariate.
Yeah.
You're an ordinariate.
Just say the homily. First thing it says is, thank you to our 6 seminarians who are here visiting us and are with us today at Mass. Now, mind you, 6 of us are wearing the same, or at least similar, clothing, cassock and surplice. Okay, I'm one of those 6.
Wait, why were you wearing a cassock and surplice?
I was serving at Mass.
Oh, okay.
And so, but the 6th seminarian was wearing, because he's a deacon, so he's wearing the deacon, you know, deacon giddy-up. So I think it was assumed, since I was wearing cassock and surplice along with the other 5 men, that the 6 implied me. So, yeah. It was a good experience. Good experience.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Oh, yeah, I have a similar story, actually. So, like, my freshman year, I was kind of discerning and, like, kind of taking it a little more seriously, you know, as all college Catholics do. College Catholic, anyways. But it was like the day after, I was like, no, whatever. I don't know if I actually want to do this. But then spending my freshman year at the A&M Corpus Christi Catholic Center, or at A&M Corpus Christi, and I was with their Catholic Center. And then we took one day to help one of the parishes in Corpus Christi have a world festival. And then I was just kind of walking around, just going to another station to help out. And then I ran into one of the sisters of the parish. So she looks at me, she goes, yeah, say hi to her. She goes, hi, are you seminarian? And I go, no, sister. And she goes, oh, you look like you just a seminarian. I was like, well, I mean, I was kind of starting the priesthood, or like, I don't know. I guess it's really not like the will of God. She goes, oh, no, most certainly it is the will of God. And I was like,
I'm telling you, Ryan, I'm telling you, I am the 2nd person put in your path to tell you the will of God.
Yeah.
The first, so, I'm the 2nd in the long line until you enter seminary. These signs.
So I kind of shift away from this conversation from this sister, right? Good sister, but I was scared. And
your vocation?
And I drown my sorrows with Polish food.
The food of John Paul II, my friend.
Indeed.
One of the best priests out there.
Wait, what?
He was a priest. He was also a bishop. He was also a pope, and now he's a saint.
He was also a deacon at one point.
He was also a seminarian and a lay person at one point.
Are you ready to take that next step, Ryan, from lay to priest?
What? He was also known as Karl Wojtyla, right?
Yeah.
What a guy. What a saint.
Jerry, pronounce that again.
It was like Carl Wojtyla, right?
Carol Wojtyla. Yeah.
I thought it was Carl. I think it's kind of cool.
Carlo? No.
Like Carl. It was better for me. Carl Wojtyla.
What is your take on being friends before versus maybe not so much?
Omar needs his advice now, by the way.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'm just going to put it out there that both methods were like, if you don't know the person that well as a friend versus if you know the person pretty well as a friend, they're both very possible to do. It just matters on like the beginning, like how well do you guys interact as friends, I guess? Because at the end of the day, dating is pointed towards marriage. And one of the most important things in marriage, besides like faith, agreement on kids, like church teaching, stuff like that. One of the most important things in a marriage is recognizing that you will not fulfill all the needs and desires of the other person. Once you recognize that, you also have to like naturally recognize that your primary vocation is to be called to holiness. So whether that's through marriage, single consecrated life, or the priesthood, that's kind of up to you and not to decide. But as for being friends, I think it's very important to build that relationship up early on, because further on down the line, you're going to want to be friends with the person that you're married to. In fact, you probably want to be best friends with this person too. I know that there's always like the thing that people call like the friend zone, and that's often like dead. Like that's often where like relationship things or like stuff go to die, or like that's allegedly what happens. But I honestly think if you do somehow get friend zoned, you're in a really good spot. And hear me out here. You're in a good spot because you have a relationship with this person where you're able to share some things and still be able to keep in touch while not being able to share certain things that you would only be able to share if you were in a dating relationship and willing to learn more about each other's hearts and past and stuff like that. So for me, there is a very good benefit behind being friends first before going into a dating relationship, because during like your first few days of getting to know a person, it's similar to dating, but it's not explicit. So it's not dating. It's getting to know who this person is as a friend, seeing if this is the kind of person that you would like to be around and stuff like that. That's basically what doing your friendships are, is does this person will my good? And does this person also respect my dignity as another like son or daughter of God and stuff like that? And is this person calling me to greater holiness as a friend? And if you can answer those questions yes all around, that's a really good friendship, and that's someone that you should hold on to. As far as wanting to date a person, that's really up to your own, like heart and your conversation with God, and recognizing your own desires and relating it to Him. And then basically you start the discernment process, and this should probably be maybe about a week or two, within 2 weeks or so, where you kind of decide, okay, is this someone that I really want to at least like explore this particular, like, okay, I've discerned that I am called to engage in married life. Well, to be married, you have to like start the dating process and stuff like that. So within those first 2 weeks, when you like kind of discern that you have an attraction towards this person, you want to like ask yourself a little bit, Lord, is this a good, do you see like fruit coming in this relationship and stuff like that? And you keep getting consistently like consolation and stuff like that. It's a pretty good sign that maybe you should at least pop the question and see what happens. And preferably, like, by the time you make that decision, you'd have to act on it. Because if you just let it linger on, the least likely you're going to do it.
So basically what Jeremy's saying is you need to do the deed, Omar.
One interesting thing that I think Jeremy touched on, alluded to at least a little bit, was the aspect of discerning a person versus your vocation, if you know what I'm trying to say. So yeah. you're coming into contact with a person, not with your vocation. Mm-hmm. It's a vital distinguishing, because vocation is to some extent relational between you and God and not necessarily the other person. Whereas an actual relationship involves the other person. So the other person, yeah, I'm discerning and dating essentially, but it's a dual discernment. Yeah. It's not, I'm putting them into my vocation story. Mm-hmm. It's figuring out whether your vocation stories are meant to interweave and whether that interweaving will lead you into kind of a forward growth, an upward growth, of course, with the assistance of God, the grace of God to help you grow higher and towards that one and ultimate goal.
Absolutely. No, and I've learned in a lot of my I'd say dating relationships, in my dates, I've thought that went like really well. Then I get the phone call next day or day or so later, saying like, hey, it was really great, but like I don't think we should go on any more dates. I'm like, okay, I'm totally respectful of that, but I'm just wondering, like, that went so well. Like, what's going on? And I had to learn, like, and Father Mike Schmitz has a good video on this too. It's like, yeah, what you're saying, Omar, it's a two person discernment. There's two people involved with it. I feel like a lot of people who are also discerning, like, the priesthood or religious life, who are discerning a particular, order or diocese or convent, and if ultimately, they come to the decision to say, this may not be a good fit for you. You have to be open to that, because, they have to, you're not just discerning this diocese or convent or order. They're also discerning you,
Yeah, it's not you just choosing the church. It's the church choosing you when it comes to vocation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, simplicity speaking, there are three different discernment processes happening in one single discernment. That's one between you and God, the other person and God, and then you with the other person. So there's like three different processes happening at once, and that's kind of how it works.
That reminds me of the title of a book by Fulton Sheen. It's called Takes Three to Get Married. Well, it says it's three to get married, but that's the essential thesis of the entire book. It's not just one person, it's three. There's God, and there's the two individuals.
Fulton Sheen, my guy.
Fulton Sheen, venerable.
Fulton Sheen, the man. He could be our patron. Sheen of the Sheepin.
Sheen of the Sheepin.
Sheen Nanigans.
Can we make a venerable a patron?
Venerable Sheenanigans.
Venerable. Oh, wow. I like that. Cool. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the rosary, right? I'm down to talk about this for another half hour or so. I don't know.
On our next podcast.
On our next podcast. I'm talking about, no. So Omar. Yeah. Are you gonna do the deed or what?
Are you gonna do the deed or go to seminary?
Wait, what?
Go to be a fake seminarian.
So Omar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta. Even our roommate Nathan told you that you gotta do the deed at some point.
Nathan said, "Do the deed."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll actually help your discernment process, because even if it doesn't work out, then you don't gotta worry about it anymore.
As Father Greg said, if she says no, that's one less person in the pool.
Yeah, I'll have to find an opportune time.
I was talking to a friend of mine today who's a youth minister for Ablaze Ministries, and they're thinking about doing like an online retreat for the kiddos, and it's called the Long Distance Relationship Retreat. And they're actually going to talk about dating and like long distance and stuff. And like, is it cool to do that? What's cool? What's cool in dating? What's not cool? We shouldn't do in dating as Catholics, which is good because high schoolers need to know that. But I thought it was really funny that they're taking this the opportunity to cover long distance dating. Omar, maybe you should get EIM certified and staff the retreat. Maybe you can learn a thing or two. Anyway, let me ask you this: what do y'all think about like? So my brother Jeremy Vizina is like the master, the chief, the boss at online long distance Catholic dating. I think he's in his fourth dating relationship through. I don't even know what Catholic website he used. So Catholic dating websites, I'm very sorry if I don't get it right, but he's doing well with it right now. Actually, he's he met a girl who actually lives like. So my brother lives in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and but he met a girl online who lives like, and I'm up here in Flower Mound, Texas. He actually met a girl who lives like 15 minutes from me and my mom up here in Flower Mound. She lives up in Corinth, Texas, which is between Flower Mound and Denton. So, yeah.
It's a little bit more difficult, but it's possible to do long distance dating as long as both parties are committed to the relationship and intentionally wanting to like get to know the other person. And there are definitely ways to do it. You just gotta use a little bit more creativity. And I highly recommend using like group calls or stuff like that. Things where you can see each other's faces and also like interact with each other online.
Yeah. So there you go, Omar. You can because Omar does happen to the very far away from here.
But Jeremy, would you recommend starting or continuing? Because that seems it's continuation of a relationship over long distance versus starting one over long distance. Because I think there may be somewhat of a difference.
I'll say this: I tried doing that, and you know, it even though it didn't work out after the first date, I would say that first date went kind of well. So I mean, I personally, especially given the current circumstances of an international health crisis, I wouldn't be opposed to it, honestly.
I think the important part is at least putting a name to a face and being able to hear each other speak. I think that's the most important part of any first date. It's just being able to, even if you can't be physically close to each other, say like you're in two different parts of the country. So like you're from say like someone's from California, the other person's in Maine or something like that. They're probably not going to be able to meet up on the first date.
Don't date.
They probably won't go out of their way to meet on the first date. And if they somehow hit it off, most likely they would want to like at least see each other and stuff like that. So although it's not ideal, it is possible and it's probably better if in your first date that you at least see the other person, say like over like a conference call or something like that, just the two of you. And just share and just talk, maybe like do an activity together, like drink a cup of coffee together or something like that. That's usually a really great go-to.
Or chocolate milk in my case.
Or chocolate milk, yes. If that's what you, you so desire.
What did you say to drink it first?
Chocolate milk.
No, what did you say to drink it first?
Maybe like coffee. That one's a pretty good conversation starter.
I thought for some reason you said drink beer. I was like, no beer on a first date.
No alcohol at all during dates. I highly...
Only if my parents are watching me in the background.
I'm chaperone your date.
I'm not condoning the use of alcoholic beverages during dates.
I mean, at least not like the first, like... I would say probably like the first, not the first, like 10 or 20 dates.
I would even caution you from alcohol on dates at all.
Omar, so But we got to clarify how to go about asking her out and say, like, again, you have to have a face. Since you can't do it in person, you just gotta car up a FaceTime or something like that. Do you have her number, Omar? The girl of which would not be named?
I may or may not. I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah.
So in the event that you do have said person's number, you should probably call her up. Highly recommend FaceTiming so then she puts a name to a face. I mean, a voice to a face.
In the event that you don't, maybe perhaps ask her for a number on another social media medium which you have in common.
I could ask my entire department for her number.
Your department? What do you mean? Yes.
My academic department.
They're all in the same major?
No.
Wait, what, how does that mean?
I don't know, it'd just be funny.
wait, you're computer science, right?
A biomedical engineering.
Okay, so the exact opposite. wait, Omar, if you're gonna make jokes in this podcast, you need to actually make sure they make sense.
Well, the good thing is, you laugh because it doesn't make sense, not because it does.
If all of our listeners have a sense of humor like I do, in which you laugh at the things that don't make sense, and you laugh extra hard at clever things that do make sense, then they'll just be laughing a little bit.
Yeah. Ryan's the only one that gets my humor, I think, in the whole world.
Jeremy also gets humor. Jeremy gets my humor pretty well, for the most part.
Yeah, I think my humor brain lobe is probably the biggest lobe in my brain.